Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polititalk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Oh, I feel so newsy.
You feel so newsy.
I feel like I should be like, good evening. This is Mary Beth, and here's the news.
I told you there were some new things with the show tonight.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, my goodness. What a week it's been. Another episode of Christian Polititalk, everybody. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. You got something to start us off with over there tonight?
I sure do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Wow, I kind of like that. All right. So tonight's devotional is called The Blessed. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's from Luke 11:28. Jesus spoke this in response to a woman saying that his mother was blessed, and certainly was. However, Mary was merely the human vessel who gave birth to the Savior. Here was the perfect opportunity for Jesus to exalt her as the Virgin Mary, as the Mother of God, and have us fall at her feet in worship. However, the Bible tells us that Mary was no longer a virgin after she bore Jesus. She had at least five other children. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him? That's from Mark 6:3. More references to Jesus' siblings are made in Matthew 12:46 and 13:55, 2 John 12, and 7:3, 5, and 10, Acts 1:14, 1 Corinthians 9:5, and Galatians 1:19. When blessing was offered to Mary, Jesus said that those who hear the word of God and keep it were blessed. This is because they are saved through the gospel and being born again in the way of entry into everlasting life. May the many millions who have a form of godliness but lack the new birth hear the words of Jesus in John 3, obey them and be blessed. The soul search tonight is, have I been truly born again? Am I a new creation in Christ? And the prayer, Father, I pray that the unsaved listen to the gospel and obey it. Boy, that's pretty timely.
Yep. Well, tonight, later on the show, I know last week you had something. You said, hey, I got an idea.
Yes, I did.
So you said something about forgiveness, right?
Yes, I did.
So tonight, we're going to dig into a four-week journey that we're going to start tonight. And it has the potential to change everyone's life. Together, we're going to examine the scripture and listen to the Holy Spirit as we consider the topic of God's grace and forgiveness. So we're going to start digging into that, and I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
I'm sure I will.
You ready to get into some news?
Yes.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
Oh, I feel newsy again. All right.
So everyone knows and everyone's aware of everything that's going on in Israel right now. And right now, the FBI is urging the public to remain vigilant as a lot of cities are on alert amid a global call for pro-Hamas action.
Absolutely. I saw that just a little while ago, actually, that Hamas is calling for basically an all-hands-on-deck jihad on Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, We definitely, there have already been many, many protests. And of course, Representative Tlaib, you know, she's here and supposed to be an American, but she is flying that flag for Palestine real high outside her office. And there's just a lot that's going on. So, you know, if you do live in a bigger city where these protests are happening, please stay vigilant.
Yeah. Well, it's bleeding over into more than that. It's bleeding over into college campuses, and not in a good way.
I'm sure.
Okay. There is a college professor at UVA who has offered extra credit for rally resisting Israeli occupation. Okay. So UVA students for justice in Palestine says Hamas killing over 1,000 Israelis is a step towards a free Palestine.
Right. Beheading 40 babies. Yeah.
So.
No, I don't think that's correct.
So there's basically New York Post has put up a big story. And the it's called Schooled on Hate. Is a story that they've put out. And yeah.
You know, college campuses are notorious for picking up causes and protesting when I don't think that they necessarily fully understand what they're protesting. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, there has always been the view that when kids go to college, they're faced with all of these very liberal professors yep. that, you know, are sort of the power to the people kind of thing, and that they are really the ones who are the rabble rousers, and they get these students involved, and then these students wind up getting arrested or killed or something like that. And, you know, really stay in your lane.
Yeah, I mean, this professor at the University of Virginia is offering extra credit to students who attend a discussion about how to stand in solidarity with Palestinians resisting occupation. And according to a screenshot that was obtained, this Tessa Farm, an associate professor of global studies and anthropology at UVA, sent a message to students on October 12th to promote an event hosted by Students for Justice in Palestine, advertised as a teach-in and demonstration about the current situation in Gaza, the events and history that led to this moment, and a discussion about how we can stand in solidarity with Palestinians resisting occupation.
No, thanks. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
No. You know, I mean, if you consider yourself a true Christian, you are standing with Israel.
Yeah.
Period.
You know, there are a lot of people that are coming out. And, you know, and standing up, you know, for Israel. And
as they should be.
You know, wow.
And
I'm just kind of dumbfounded at some of the stories that, you know, running into on this.
Well, you know, I certainly don't want to make light of the situation, but this morning, when it was really like 2:30 in the afternoon in Israel, Secretary of State Blinken had a joint press conference with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And what Netanyahu had to say was, you know, really interesting and just kind of like letting people know what they were going to be doing, what their next step was. And Secretary Blinken said something like, the U.S. has got your back. And I was like, that's so colloquial. You know, that's not, I wouldn't have said that. You know, yes, yeah. we stand with Israel, but this got your back thing sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I also did hear that there are going to be American flights coming into Israel for any U.S. citizens who want to get out of the war zone.
Yeah.
But Israel has also put out the call to all Israeli citizens and those in the Jewish communities to come to Israel and serve in the army and do their duty. So this is interesting.
Yeah. Wow. There's just so, just like the news feed right now is just flooded with information about everything that's going on.
Oh, I'm sure.
And there's so many stories coming out right now. It's hard to process all of them about the different things that are coming out and different points of view and you know, of course, stories from different news medias are always skewed one way or the other. And it definitely doesn't help people who don't understand what's going on.
Exactly.
Understand what is actually happening.
Right.
And I've been digging in through several different news media outlets. And right now, the biggest thing is, you know, is where the, you know, that founder issues a global call to jihad, basically.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They're calling it the Friday of Al-Aqsa flood.
Yeah, it's supposed to be that instead of it being like money or prayers or anything like that, that they will be out there seeking blood and souls.
Yeah. I was reading a different article. There's an ex-Muslim turned Christian who is actually warning Americans and Jews everywhere that Hamas has called, you know, Muslims to commit a day of rage against America and Zionists on Friday the 13th. Yeah. It's a call to arms.
I'm telling you.
Is what they're doing.
Somebody goes cray cray in front of me, I'm packing. You threaten me, you threaten my family, we'll silence your day of rage. And not even look back.
Well, there was a quote here that says, "We call upon our rebellious youth throughout the West Bank, in its cities, villages, and uprising camps, in the streets and neighborhoods of Jerusalem, and at the squares of the blessed Al-Aqsa Mosque, to rise up, join massive demonstrations, and shake the grounds beneath the feet of the Zionist invaders and their settler gangs." The statement continued, "Engage with their soldiers in cowardly army in every place, affirming the unity of destiny and the path toward Jerusalem." So, liberating from them from the defilement of the Zionist occupation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday, about the money.
Yeah.
That was supposedly being transferred.
I've got a story on that, too.
And in actuality, I think that they have suppressed anyone being able to touch those funds. I think they've frozen them.
There was a story where that has been reached where the money can be kind of. U.S. and Qatar reach quiet agreement to block $6 billion in frozen funds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Biden admin previously made a deal with Iran in September to swap prisoners and release $6 billion. But now it looks like Qatar and the U.S. have reached a quiet agreement to block Iran from accessing these funds. So
access denied.
Yeah, it's like
your ATM card is not working.
It's like insufficient funds.
Exactly.
But you know, a lot has come out that this money could very well be funding what is going on.
Absolutely.
And I also heard on some news footage that, you know, they were asking other people in the military here if mm-hmm. they thought that any of the weapons that were left behind in Afghanistan made their way into the hands. And they said that they have seen equipment that appears to be ours.
Oh yeah. I would think so. I mean, you know, they may not have the technology themselves where they can make it for themselves, but if they've got ours, they know it's going to work. Yeah. So, I mean, that's interesting. And I did hear too, that, you know, if they had been able to access these funds, that within a few days, they would have the capability of making their own nuclear weapons. That's frightening.
Yeah, it's very frightening. Along with everything else that is going on, that, you know, you definitely don't want to hear that on top of everything else.
No, and of course, that also brings up, you know, with things the way that they are now, had Trump remained in office, this probably would not even be a situation.
Well, I mean, we probably would have left Afghanistan in a much different way.
Absolutely.
Which kind of was one part of clearing the path for a lot of this stuff to take place.
Yes.
If you look back in the grand picture of everything, you know, there have been things and little bumps along the way that have just kind of like cleared a complete path for what has happened to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is definitely going to be something that we continue to follow, you know, over the next, you know, coming days into next week. And we will be following and we will be digging in the story a little bit more as things evolve and come out.
And, you know, here's what scares me is we have had people have had unfettered access to our border.
Yep.
We don't know who's here, who's a sleeper cell. We don't know what people are planning on doing or what plans were already in place when they crossed the border.
And that's the thing, we don't.
So, you know, this problem could really be closer to home than we think. I mean, not that I would ever want anything like 9/11 to happen again, but this is kind of similar. You know, they were able to come in through our borders and do what they did, and they were a sleeper cell, and then they got activated, and we see what happened.
Yeah. And, you know, as this, you know, continues to unfold, you know, there are a lot of, you know, Jewish and Israelis here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually one in, there was a New York City Israeli student who was actually assaulted outside Columbia's university main library.
Oh, wow.
Over the Hamas war.
Mm.
So.
Not shocking. Not shocking.
No, it's not.
But still.
And, you know, digging into some of these other stories and things that I found, you know, kind of across different media outlets, there's some very interesting stories, you know, that point out and talk about. John Voight actually had something very interesting to say about all this.
Really?
Yes. Actor John Voight turns to scripture amid what he's calling the Hamas Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And he's speaking out in support of Israel and what he called the Hamas Holocaust. He's no stranger to speaking out on faith and politics. And he shared a somber video to his X account Wednesday afternoon, turning to the Old Testament and sharing a message on the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Let me say something to you." He said, "Israel, I love you. Israel, I will stand tall for the land and for its sacred soul. These sick-minded beings have been evil since birth. They've been trained to destroy. God's power, along with the Israeli army, will end this destruction, and the power of this evil, it will be destroyed once and for all, so the Jewish people can be in peace, live in safety, to live life."
Oh, yeah.
That is
very poignant.
And then he ended it with Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
So he went on to say, "Let me assure you, by the almighty power of God and the power of Moses, who once stood in the power of the evil forces, that this is the Holocaust. It's the horror that was witnessed by the Jews of Auschwitz and have come now to warn the evil ones that God will show truce again. He shall win this war for his people, as when Moses was able to lift the Red Sea." So, you know, that's very poignant. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can say about that, right?
It'd be kind of interesting to see what divine intervention may wind up playing a part in this, you know?
Yeah, well, we know that Israel is, you know, the people are protected. I mean, bad things going to happen, and we all know that.
Right.
But you know, God shelters his people. Not that we won't go through bad things, but God shelters his people. So, you know, this is something, you know, this, the main thing that people can do that are listening tonight, like, what can I do? Aside from money or anything else, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer. And, you know, thousands of students and coaches across the U.S. have joined the 20th Fields of Faith, transformed by his son, where they're actually having prayer chains standing hand in hand across fields all across the nation as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, you know, that's very inspiring. That's very uplifting for the things, you know, that are going on.
And it's so in the face of what this guy at UVA is trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's like a polar opposite. And my thing is why is this man, this professor?
It's a woman.
Or this woman.
Yeah.
Why is she able to literally, what's the word I want? Agitate students.
Yep.
I mean, we're still dealing with minds that are developing.
Yep.
And here we've got somebody who is supposed to be someone that we trust because they're an educator and they're supposed to be, you know, educating us to make us smarter, stronger people. And if you've got somebody who is literally like calling for a terrorist act.
Yep.
Why hasn't she been arrested?
I don't know. I'm sure more will come out of this as we dive into it. I'm sure we'll hear more about that story, too.
Because I'm telling you, if I had a child at UVA right now, I'd be like, you better bring your little tushy on home.
But along with things like that, there are still reports coming out of revival actually echoing across the U.S. as well. I mean, there's numerous stories coming out. You know, Texas churches are reporting record-breaking numbers of people being baptized as a signs of spiritual revival echoing across the U.S. There's one church there that noted 755 people publicly declaring their faith in Christ.
Wow.
And that represents something far bigger than mere statistics, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, these aren't just numbers, you know. Their lives that are forever changed and families being transformed and, you know, testimonies of God's relentless grace. And that's kind of, you know, funny that it leads us into what we're going to talk about tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you ready to dive into some of that?
Let's do it.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message. So tonight, as we set out on a four-week journey that has the potential to change our lives, as I said earlier, together we will examine the scriptures and listen to the Holy Spirit as we consider the topic of God's grace. And tonight, it's called More Than Forgiveness. So have you ever taken the time to think deeply about grace? Have you ever taken the time to study God's word about grace? This is a journey for all of us to take together. Seasoned saints, new believers, and those who are exploring whether the good news of Jesus is really true. The topic of God's grace is so vast, certainly many more than we can cover in 4 weeks, but I hope that we can begin this journey together and that each of us will spend the rest of our lives on this wonderful journey of learning and entering into God's grace in greater and greater measure. So tonight we'll discover that God's grace is more than forgiveness. He sends his grace to teach us a new way to live. So let me start out this evening by telling you a story. And it's a story you may not expect to hear on this type of show. It may be difficult to hear. It's a story about an abusive husband and his wife. The husband was a rageaholic, given to fits of anger, And horribly, those moments sometimes overflowed into violence. Like the time he slammed his wife up against the kitchen cabinets, or the time he slapped her across the face and then in horror and shame ran off to find a quiet place to tremble and cry. The wife, a Christian, forgave her husband each time he came home. He said quite accurately, "I don't know what comes over me." The wife loved her husband deeply and saw the many good sides of this flawed man, but she lived in fear that the next rage riot might bring a harm that would not heal. She stayed with her husband because each time he sincerely begged for forgiveness. She knew her duty as a Christian was to forgive and extend grace. The only thing she knew of God's grace was forgiveness. She had been told all her life that she was powerless over sin and that God's grace came to forgive and restore her relationship with God. She was enough of a Christian to understand that. If God had forgiven her, she should extend the same grace to others, especially her husband. So she knew a small piece of God's grace, but only enough to put her in danger. It's God's grace that forgives and restores. Sweet forgiveness, sweet yes, but in this story that you just heard, forgiveness alone was filled with torment, unless there was something more. If we look at the wife in this story, we want to scream, "Get out! It's not safe!" Any sane Christian understands the woman has a duty to remain at home and risk injury or death because of some notion of grace expressed as constant forgiveness. If we look at the husband in this story, we will see a man trapped in thoughts, emotions, and behaviors that will harm everyone he loves and ruins his own life as well. A sympathetic view of the husband understands that he too is a tormented soul in desperate need of help. Help beyond merely wiping clean his sinful slate. The most gracious thing his wife could do would be to move out and demand that he gets help, that he needs to overcome his deep anger and pain. And what of Jesus, the third member of this marriage? We could no more imagine Jesus leaving this husband alone in his condition, a captive to the anger and fits of rage, than we could imagine Jesus telling a homeless man, "Go your way, be warm and filled," without giving him food and clothing. Beyond the characters in this simple story lies a larger question. What about us? Would a grace-filled God leave us in the condition he finds us? Would he spend his days reminding us of our shortcomings, demanding anything again and again? Prayers of repentance and sorrow. Would the loving Creator wave his hand and say, "You're forgiven now, go and sin no more," without lifting even one finger to empower us over our sin? The story I've told you is extreme and disturbing. But it's a true story. One has been repeated over and over in many Christian families. Sometimes an extreme example is necessary to grab our hearts and free our minds. Does God's grace mean only forgiveness? Or if there's something more to this antidote for our sin? Would God leave us alone in our rage, our addictions, or our isolation? A cold and comfortless God he would be, if that were so. The problem is not with God the Father or with his grace. The problem is with our understanding of grace, of God's ongoing work in our lives. Jesus will not leave us to ourselves any more than he could, you know, leave a beggar in the street. Anyone who suggests so misinterprets the true grace of God. So there's grace guides and kind of guards, okay? Grace forgives, but it also guides. Set aside the question of heaven and hell after we die. What about heaven or hell while we live? His grace is available to lead and guide us right now. The fabric of everyday life is alive with the grace of God. If we wait until we've sinned to call upon the grace of God, we've squandered the greater part of grace. Grace restores, but it also guards. It also instructs us to deny ungodly ways and teaches us the how-to of life, how to live sensible, upright, and godly lives in this present age. The scriptures teach us we are saved by grace. The good news is we can experience salvation here and now, as well as there and then. The kingdom of God glides on wings of grace. The kingdom brings righteousness, peace, and joy, from Romans 14:17. And best of all, the gracious Holy Spirit wants to lead us into righteousness, peace, and joy in everyday life. The kingdom is never attained, it is received. How will we receive the grace of the kingdom today? The more I read the New Testament and the more all-encompassing grace becomes, the Bible presents a grace that's continued to reach into our lives day after day in more ways than we expect. So our text tonight is from the book of Titus, Titus 2:11-14. It introduces us to grace in ways that we're both familiar and unfamiliar. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing to a young pastor, Titus. Titus had traveled with Paul, and Titus had been trained by Paul. What's more, Paul had great affection for this young disciple, calling him my true child in faith, from Titus 1:4. So here's what Paul taught Titus about the scope of God's grace. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So that's Titus 2:11-14. So in this passage, the word grace appears right next to phrases like self-controlled and upright and godly lives. What kind of grace is this? If grace means only forgiveness, why does the scripture also talk about learning a new way to live? Most believers are very familiar with the grace that brings salvation, but not many have ever heard of a grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Most believers are familiar with a saving grace capable of securing heaven after we die, but have never considered the possibility that God's grace can nurture us in this present age. Let's take a look at four key points in this passage. Grace being salvation. This is the part of God's grace most Christians know, and it's wonderful. It's foundational to our faith. For it is by the grace you have been saved through faith, and this faith is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, from Ephesians 2:8. This is the starting point of life in Christ. But it's just the start. The good news gets better. Grace teaches us to say no. God doesn't want us forever trapped in a cycle of sin and forgiveness, so grace keeps on working for us, teaching us how to resist temptation and ungodliness. That's right, we can call on the grace of God before we fall into sin. Grace teaches us how to live. There's more to Christian life than saying no to sin. God's grace is available to replace our sinful habit patterns with self-control so we can live upright and godly lives. This is not the result of trusting in our works, but rather allowing grace to teach us. Grace fills us with hope. Do you see the connection in these verses? Life in Christ is not meant to be a desperate fight against sin, nor even a narrow focus on godly living. In verse 13, we see that it's God's grace that fills us with hope for, you know, this life and the next. Would grace allow sin to rule over us all the days of our lives? why would grace leave us naked and bleeding on the side of the road? God's grace is after more than wiping the slate clean week after week. The grace of God wants to teach us a new way to live. If grace is the teaching, is the teacher, we are the students, and all of life is the classroom. If we process the, you know, humility to become learners, God's grace not only transports us to heaven when we die, it brings heaven closer to us while we live. This is part of the good news. Grace is not only forgives our sin, but grace also teaches us how to live a life that is no longer captive to sin. So too many believers are stuck in an unhealthy pattern. We choose sin, which is bad enough. Worse still, afterwards, a voice in our head tries to drag us down deeper still. It's the voice of the adversary. He whispers enticement before our sin and shouts condemnation after. His is a voice of skilled and, you know, subtle influence, followed by paralyzing guilt. It's a voice filled with accusation. He's a liar and the father of lies, and lies are his native tongue. Talking about Satan there. Sin brings death, it's true, but God's grace wipes away the penalty of death and the stain of sin. Even better, grace does more. It raises us to life and teaches us a new way to live. This is the glory of God. He speaks to us even in our sin. The great alchemist turns our sin into the stuff of restoration. His message is restoration. And what's more, he takes our defeat and turns it into the very fabric of instruction. God wants us to learn from our past sins and go and sin no more, from John 8:11. Have you ever learned from your sin? This is grace. God is not only ready to forgive, he is eager to teach. If we are open to God's voice, even our sin becomes grace in his hands. He will show us the path to correct our steps, not by insisting on obedience, but by revealing our hearts. Not by counting our sins against us, but by teaching us a new way to live. For example, if I fall into anger, Jesus wants to reveal its source and heal the weakness that led to sin. If I choose greed, Jesus wants to reveal my insecurity and heal the weakness that led to sin. If I choose lust, Jesus wants to reveal my desire and heal the weakness that led to sin. If I choose judgment, Jesus wants to reveal my pride and heal the weakness that led to sin. Do you get the idea that God wants to heal the weakness that leads to sin? What he asks, he empowers. Jesus said, go and sin no more. He also makes this command possible. He takes us to the source and gives us hope. This is a kind of resurrection, a resurrection from a life of sin. Resurrection isn't just for Jesus, it's for us. It's not just the end of days, it's so we can walk in newness of life. Sin puts us in the tomb. Jesus rolls away the stone as often as we need. Our application of these verses can be very personal. We can pray, listen, and learn. So let me explain. In our daily prayers, we should include prayers like this: Spirit of God, please open my eyes and heart to recognize your grace works in my life. It's also a part of grace, God's grace, to answer prayers like this. Jesus assured us that if we ask him for bread, he will not give us a stone. From Matthew 7:7-11. So we can be confident God will answer prayers like this one. After our time of prayer, it's our opportunity to learn. Make a few notes of what comes to your mind. What did you discover about God as you prayed and listened? What did you discover about yourself? You can be sure that God will lead you toward a larger understanding of grace. So in the coming week, what might happen if you tried this exercise once a day, each day? This exercise is not about merely gaining biblical knowledge, as important as that may be. It's about opening our eyes, ears, and life to the deeper grace God has in store. God's grace wants to teach us a new way to live. True, we will stumble and fall along the way, but there's always grace for forgiveness. Better still, there's even more grace available to us for each new day and every new situation. So that's all there is for tonight. We're going to continue this in part two next Thursday night. So what are your thoughts there?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting. Is that something, is there something that grabbed you in that?
All of it, really. I mean, you know, I asked to kind of discuss this topic, so, you know, I'm open. I'm open to hearing more.
Well, we're going to hear a lot more over the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
On this subject. And, you know, it's very important now to also realize, you know, God's grace, as bad as things are in Israel right now, God's grace is at work in the lives of his people. God's grace is actually reaching out to the people still to this very day, the ones that are standing up and raging against the Jews and Israelites. God's working on their lives as well, trying to get their heart to come to him. And it's happened. There are people that have walked away from, you know, regimes like that and turned their back and never turned back. That's the grace of God at work. That's forgiveness right there. So as you're praying and thinking about things that are going on all over this country, all over the world, realize that God is at work. And pray for God to shine his light in all the dark places, you know, to help people know and understand him better. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree.
You agree.
I agree.
You're an agreeable soul tonight.
I am.
Well,
it's been a trying week.
It has been.
It's been a very trying week.
Yep.
You know, just across the board. And, you know, I'm trying to get reinvigorated. I'm trying to get, you know, my spirit back.
Yep. That's just the world trying to drag you down.
Yes.
And, you know, as much as I try to help you, I tell you to always look for that little glimmer of light, that little speck of something shining in. And that's God working in that.
Yep.
But you got to pay attention to it, because as bad as things may seem sometimes, there's always a little glimmer over in the corner. And if you concentrate on that glimmer, you know that that's God working in your favor.
Oh, I'm looking. I am definitely looking.
And, you know, for the people that are listening tonight that are, you know, they not giving their life to Christ and they're, you know, exploring, and, you know, as we talked about earlier, there have been many people, you know, that have been turning their life over to Christ. We talked about last week about Kat Von D, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turning their life over to Christ. Well, I'd actually forgot about this, but I got one more little thing to share that kind of falls in line with that whole thing. So there's a new Christian film that's coming out, okay? And this one is called Fame. And Fame features Christian converts. Listen to some of this people, some of the people this movie is about. Rock legend Alice Cooper is the subject of a new faith-based film that reveals how fame, fortune, and partying drove him into the brink of destruction and ultimately led him into the arms of Jesus. this documentary also chronicles the careers of Major League Baseball legend Daryl Strawberry, Steve McQueen, Johnny Cash, and many more people that turned their life over to Christ after they hit that rock bottom. Just like that family member I talked about last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hit that rock bottom, and he's turned his life over to Christ. He finally let go of what was worldly and had him, and saw the light of Christ. And it's working on him. So I want y'all to look out for that, the film. It's going to be premiering exclusively on Harvest platforms beginning October 20th.
What's a Harvest platform?
I will dig into that and find out exactly what it is, but it's called Fame, Fortunes, Failure, and Faith. And I believe one of the Harvest platforms may be PureFlix, which is now Great American PureFlix.
Mm-hmm.
So could definitely dig into that. But for those, much like those who are looking into this, they haven't given their life over to Christ, there's nothing special. You just admit you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from that sin and repent and believe that Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried and rose again to pay the price for that sin. And just to pray to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to do it in a church. You don't have to do it in a special place. You don't have to have a pastor do it for you. It's about your personal relationship and free will and choice to follow Christ. You can say this simple prayer wherever you are. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord. Thank you for hearing my prayer and coming in my heart and saving me according to your word. And I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, what's one of the most important things you can do?
Get yourself a Bible.
That's right. Start digging in. Start learning.
Find yourself a Bible-based church.
That's right. Get in a good church. Just teaching on the word, teaching from the word of God.
Join a small group.
That's right. It's best to learn in small groups. Start talking with like-minded people. Start studying the Bible together. Start learning how to pray.
I have my times of prayer in the morning when I'm driving to work.
A lot of people do. Several times throughout the day, something will pop in my head and I'm praying about that.
Yep.
While I'm sitting there working. All throughout the day, things happen, and I'm like, you hear, like with me, I'll hear fire trucks, ambulances going down the road. Lord, pray for the people. Help the people en route to help those people. Keep them safe. And keep the people safe they're going to help. I mean, being a retired firefighter and working in EMS, I mean, that's really big with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got any other last-minute thoughts over there tonight?
I do not.
We really appreciate everybody taking the time to join us each week. Send us an email, christianpolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLK, all together, @gmail.com.
Y'all do me a solid. Send us some ideas.
Mary Beth, running out of ideas, folks. Oh,
I never run out of ideas, but I feel like I monopolize them.
She's got her own little thing here. She's like, hey, what about this?
I do. I do. Because there are just things that I'm not sure what the Bible says about them.
Yep. Well, you know, in your walk and in your path and your learning. And, you know, there are going to be many, many questions along the way, you know.
But I feel so much more enlightened just to this point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, the journey for you has been very apparent, you know. You know, you had a lot of questions and, you know, you started digging in and learning and asking more questions, and here you are today, right?
Here I am, having my conversations.
That's right.
That's what I do.
That's what you do. That's what we all do.
And I'll tell you, my little team at work, we're a very close-knit group, and we oftentimes have conversations of a religious nature.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
It's very good.
Yes, Jesus is definitely part of what we do every day.
Definitely.
Because sometimes we are hard-pressed to know how to help somebody.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of at that point that we gather as a group and talk about the situation. And then we always come up with at least a structure of a plan.
There you go. Well, we really appreciate everybody joining us tonight. We hope you'll come back and join us again next week as we continue this quest into learning more about forgiveness and grace. And we'll be back right here next Thursday night. Remember to pray for everything that's going on over in Israel, everything that's going on all over the world. Everything needs prayer right now more than anything. So we'll see you right here next week. Everybody have a great weekend.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititalK@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. I remember when a long lost sinner met a good, good God. I remember when my heart was broken, but now it's not. Stopped. I'm gonna sing it. I'm gonna shout it. Try to get me gonna praise the Lord. From the moment when the sun starts rising till the sun goes down, I'm surrounded by a million mercies. I can feel them now. I've tasted and I've seen. You've been so good to me. Got a melody inside my heart. Oh, here's a sweet, sweet sound. I'm gonna sing.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.